follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, 99.3 ESPN app.
Sticks.
The sticks, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Great tune. So many great. This is, man.
Rick Church.
Voice. Awesome.
Spinning them. Way to go. Mm-hmm. Scott Piercy is tied for the lead of the U.S. Open with Ricky Fowler. Piercy bogeyed 18.
Yeah, he's in the clubhouse. He's out of 67 today.
Not bad.
Fowler,
I don't know much about him. He's an American golfer. I don't know much about him, to be honest. Ricky Fowler,
I don't know
yeah.
much about him. Ricky, we know. He's tied for lead at 400. And then Sepp Straka. What a great name from the United States.
Where's he from?
I don't. He's from the United States.
No, he's not. He's got a different. I'm looking at a different flag. Two red bars and a white one. Is he Switzerland?
No, I'm looking. No, Rory McIlroy. I'm looking at Sepp Straka. This is on the official U.S. Open leaderboard.
That's what I'm looking at.
I'm looking at the United States flag.
Look at this right here. Look at mine. Look at mine. That's not an American flag.
Hold on.
That is a red and white flag. There's no red, white, and blue for Straka.
But look at mine. Look at me.
Hold on. Hold on.
This, he almost joined. So, just so you know.
Well, okay. Pete's not.
The internet has come alive.
We're both right.
The internet has a personality now.
I'm going to guess with the name of Straka, he's not American.
No, it's you're right. I don't, but. But look, when you click on his picture here,
yeah,
player this. Profile. I can't even say it. I mean, look at. Hold on, come here. Look at this.
I'm looking at mine. We got two different
like
things.
Looks like all
this
American
is outrageous.
I just went on CBSSports.com. They also have Straka as a USA flag here.
All right, you break the tie. Next hour in studio to help us out with such nonsense. Jeff Nixon, who is the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club,
Google
will be
his
on.
Name.
And he'll be here. Of course, you can hear his show every Sunday from 8 to 10, play golf Southwest Florida. But he'll be in studio at 4 o'clock. We'll have a difficult, I'm going to tell you right now, the pin placement is difficult for Wikipedia. We got some tough questions. They're going to be it's U.S. Open trivia today. And I think we're going to have Jeff kind of be a caddy, phone a friend, maybe with some of his knowledge for both the contestant and for Pete Shepard.
Hey guys, there's a little more controversy on the Sepp Straka story. According to PGAtour.com, he said he was born in Austria, lived in Vienna, and at the age of 14, his family moved to Valdosta, Georgia.
All right.
That is so confusing.
So I guess.
So he's Austrian?
I guess.
I've been to Austria.
Born in Austria, lived in Vienna until age 14, then moved to Valdosta,
so
Georgia.
So he is known as Sound of Music guy.
I'm a Deus.
We can't even agree on that. Oh, goodness.
All right.
Yeah, and PGAtour.com does on his player page have him as Austrian. And
well,
that's the flag you were describing, Craig, with the
red and white.
Red and white.
He went to Georgia. He went to University of Georgia.
Yeah, went to University of Georgia.
Well, he came to America for his degree.
He won the KC Golf Classic.
So he's probably an American citizen.
I'm sure he is.
Now he is. All right, fine. So we've accomplished nothing here. Or maybe we have. Maybe it's a fluid situation.
Went to Georgia.
I don't know how two websites, or one website on two computers has different graphics, though.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
I know, and I thought I had the official website of the U.S. Open. So anyway, after all that lunacy, Ricky Fowler now 5-under. He's taking the lead outright. Very good.
Excellent.
All right.
Yes, he has.
Well, no, it's not excellent because that's who Chris picked.
That's who Chris picked.
I don't want him to win in our Sheeman and Shepard fantasy golf picking from 99.3ESPN.com.
Dopey with a couple of brilliant tweets. You were better yesterday. I wish I could be a fly on the wall at Pete's house as he was watching the Bruins get their ass handed to them by the St. Louis Blues. First of all, you obviously didn't listen. I'm not going to repeat myself about how great Jordan Binnington was because they did not get their. They took the play to the Blues and mid Binnington. Stonewall them. It's that simple. So credit. I've already given my kudos to St. Louis.
Don't worry, Dopey.
And then Dopey says, looks like Boston only got two legs of the Grand Slam. Sorry, Pete.
Yes. Look, That's all I said yesterday. I did not want a third parade. I'm sorry.
And Dopey, as I say all the time, yes, I'm emotionally connected to a lot of those teams, but only to a certain point because when times are tough, and as I said, and I say this all the time, you know, what happened in the movie A Bronx Tale, when little Calogero says, I hate Bill Mazeroski. He made Mickey Mantle cry. Mickey Mantle? Yeah, and Chaz Montoya said, Mickey Mantle, the mob guy, said, Mickey Mantle, he goes, we care about him. He doesn't care about you. He goes, your father can't pay the rent. Go ask Mickey Mantle. See what he says. So that's how I look at sports.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was a great
life,
effort.
Life goes on. Hey, you know what? It's Father's Day this weekend, and the only bad thing is I might not be able to play golf this weekend. But other than that, it's a glorious day outside.
Can you think about what Father's Day is shaping up to be? if Golden State wins tonight, we could have U.S. Open. We could have a Game 7 for the NBA.
Which I think we will.
We could have the lady soccer team for the World Cup against Chile.
Yeah.
Maybe what else?
They can win by 5 or 4.
Another blowout. What else we got? I mean, that's a pretty good day of sports for Father's Day.
Baseball, too, going on. Yep.
Yeah. I see Justin Verlander struck out a career high 15 last night in an Astros loss.
Yeah, the Red Sox finally got a win on a walk-off walk in the afternoon by Mookie Betts. And maybe that's not, they needed it, boy. Did they need that?
Yeah.
But still, Tampa Bay's playing well.
All right, now, just one final thought on the hockey before we move on. You've got a list of the top 10 markets for TV ratings.
Yeah, here's the top.
Fort Myers is in there.
Top markets for the Blues-Bruins Game 7 on NBC. Number one was St. Louis, 41.8. Boston was second.
Which, by the way, beat St. Louis Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, the Rams and the Patriots this last year. There's still a lot of Ram fans that are in St. Louis. Yeah. They might be angry, but they're still there.
Right.
So St. Louis with a 41.8. Boston with a 30.2. It really is a 54.4 because Providence is 24.4, and Providence is only 35 miles away.
Gotcha.
So then Buffalo next with a 14 share. Kansas City with a 10.1.
Kansas City.
And coming in at number six, Fort Myers with an 8.4.
How about that?
Pittsburgh is next. They beat out Pittsburgh with an 9.4 Fort Myers. Pittsburgh 9.2.
We beat out Mario Lemieux's hometown there.
Hartford 8.4, Las Vegas 7.6, and Denver 7.4.
Who knew?
Those are the top 10 markets, and Fort Myers was number 6.
Wow, maybe we did such a good job talking it up that they got a few extra eyeballs on it.
Well, no, I think what I said, you have a lot of people from the Midwest and the Northeast that are down here. Not to mention, I think you have a really good fan base with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And I think it shows. So that's great.
We'll have very similar numbers for the U.S. Open this weekend.
Oh, they'll be either one or two, more than likely.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's very
DeChambeau's on the 7th, par 3. I love this hole. It's the elevated par 3. He is 2 under.
Oh, Shula's checking in to say the College World Series, too.
Oh, that's right. Florida State playing Arkansas at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it 3 or is it 7?
It's at 3.
Okay. All right. So that's Saturday. So we got a big weekend in sports. Very good. All right. 239-337-ESPN, the number. I asked everybody listening what you would do. As you know, the players who win the Stanley Cup, they get to keep it for a while during their hiatus and do whatever they want. Take it wherever they want. Go in the swimming pool, take it to the ocean, fly on an airplane, drink beer out of it, put babies in it. What would you do if you could have the Stanley Cup for a day? Take it to work, show it off.
Sponge bath.
I don't know if I'd do that. Maybe, I don't know, I could be talked into it. We learned right before the show that the Stanley Cup has actually been in this building before. Did not know that. Well before you and I started working here.
My bad, real quick. Sorry. It is 7 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay. The only reason I asked is Tuch sent us a text earlier today.
Yeah, no, it's 7 p.m. Game 1, Michigan and Texas Tech at 8 o'clock.
All right.
And then that's on ESPN. And Game 2, Florida State and Arkansas. But how can they both be on ESPN? One of them's going to be on ESPN, too.
I just saw John Rahm.
Did he throw something?
Standing to wait to tee off.
He took his sweater off.
No, it's worse. He took the tee that he's about to put into the ground right now. Put it way deep in his ear, then looked at it like he got some wax out of there or something. He scratched his inner ear with his tee, and now he's putting it into the ground. At least he didn't lick it.
Ew!
John Rahm in his pink shirt and blue pants, sitting there scratching his inner ear with his tee. Let's see what kind of shot he does after this. This could be a new, you know, they're very habitual. And let's see. He lines it up. It's ready to go.
What's he got, about 4-iron there? Yeah. 5-iron?
Yep.
Let's what hole see. Is this?
They're giving me nothing. Fox,
hang on,
FS1.
I'll tell you right.
FS1's
on, I'll tell
giving
you.
Me. Looks like it's a little to the right to center.
Rahm is on, it's on 16.
If it's too long, it goes over the clip. You hit it about 220, and it's rolling.
Good
it's,
shot.
It's
right
an 8-hole par 4.
Yeah,
good shot. All right, there we go. So the earwax worked.
Gross.
239 says, I would take the cup to a strip club and buy a lap dance. Well,
all right.
Chris mentioned yesterday, was it yesterday or the show before?
Yeah.
The difference between strip club and gentleman's club is the prime rib. I think.
Usually.
Okay. All right. 239 says, Stanley Cup for a day and eat a big bowl of Cocoa Puffs from it. Very simple dreams. This is the second cereal text we've had regarding that.
Tex-Mex make a 7-layer dip bowl. See, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. All right. So keep them coming. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Oh, I wanted to share with you what Trevor Lawrence had to say. This is the quarterback out of Clemson, of course, who's got the brightest future of anybody right now. He was asked recently if he would ever sit out a bowl game. You know, that's the new trend. There were even people suggesting that his freshman year was so spectacular, should he just sit out football altogether and wait till he's old enough to be drafted in the NFL? It was that spectacular. He said he would never, Pete Shepard,
never
sit out a bowl game. That's not him. He wants to be the best quarterback he can be. He would play. He says, you will never write a story about me sitting out a bowl game.
Really?
To him, I say never say never.
To him, I say, well.
Well, now keep in mind, at Clemson, when you say bowl game, you're thinking automatically national championship and playoffs. You're not thinking Outback
but
Bowl.
But if they got upset and say they had two losses and went to a nice bowl, but not the national championship game, I wonder if he would have second thoughts this year.
Never say never. That's what I'm going to say. Phil Mickelson for Eagle on the six. Is this old tape? This is old tape. He's further than that. Missed it by 2 inches. Ugh. How about that? I've seen Phil miss a lot of long birdie putts. He's not getting it close to the hole today, and I think he is even. Now, that would be for a birdie on the tap-in. So, he's even. He finished even today. This is an old highlight. I got caught up in a highlight.
Yeah, still rookie follower on top by stroke. He's 5 under. Now he's on the 16th. Piercy in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
1 stroke back at 4 under. Sepp Straka in the clubhouse.
Straka.
2 shots back.
That's Australian. Austria.
Emiliano Grillo. They are both 2 shots back at 3 under, as is Mark Leishman, who's still on the course. Rory McIlroy. They're both on 17 right now. And Tyrrell Hatton, Gary Woodland, also playing. Xander Schauffele.
Yes.
Louis Oosthuizen, all 3 under.
Oosthuizen.
You say tomato, say ketchup.
You say Austrian, you say American. I don't know. Here's one from the 239. How would this work out, Pete? I'd take the cup to Boston and have my own parade decked out in blues gear. How long would he last on the streets of Boston with that? Could be rough.
People probably like to see I think a lot of people would like to be around the cup.
Yeah.
A lot of memories there.
Even if you're rubbing it in wearing St. Louis gear in the streets of Boston, that sounds rather dangerous to me. No?
I don't know. Can't take that stuff. That's there. Whatever.
All right.
I think you'd have a lot of people come up and they want to be take pictures with a cup, no matter who won it.
All right.
Montreal, different story maybe. But
very gracious crowd.
Yeah.
All right, tonight we got game 6 of the NBA Finals in Golden State as the last game. I'm so tired of hearing the last this and the last that.
Last game at Oracle.
And it's a dump anyway.
It's a lovely venue.
I think it was built in 1967. It's time to move on.
A couple of quick Tampa Bay Buccaneer notes for you.
Oh, yeah, hit me. What's up?
Which is interesting. So, so the Bucs and General Lane had this earlier, a friend of the program, covers the Bucs for ESPN. The Bucs officially signed third-round safety Mike Edwards, so that's good.
All right.
And also, Herm Edwards,
Yes.
Who spent nearly a decade at ESPN and joined the faculty of the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Arizona State. He'll serve as a guest lecturer in classes and conduct regular discussions on sports and the media at Cronkite.
You play to win the game. That's all he needs to say.
Jenna said that Herm Edwards was a valuable part of our ESPN training when he joined us for a mock press conference. Huge get for the school's journalism program.
Huh.
Hello. You play to win the games.
I got to give him credit. He had a better season last year than I thought he was going to have.
Oh, God, yeah.
I thought the wheels might fall off, but he did not do too badly. Yep. No doubt about it. All right. So that's the latest going on there. So back to tonight for a moment. I'm curious about two things to say. You mentioned last hour. You're going to be looking at Toronto to see if they're mentally tough enough to come out here and do this after really blowing Game 5. And I'm also interested to see Golden State's medal because I think they got to be spent. It was the weirdest celebration of keeping your season alive I've ever seen after they won that game. They held on to win. They wanted to celebrate, but they were really so subdued because of the Kevin Durant injury. Their heads were messed up after that game. And then you fly back home. I'm just going to be curious to see how they – I actually think they'll come out on fire and build a lead, and then Toronto fights back, and then I think we'll have a pretty good game.
Interesting number. Warriors are 0-3 against the Raptors at home this year, including the playoffs. Every loss, Craig, by double digits. Every loss.
Wow.
Steve Kerr enters game 6 with a 6-1 record in elimination games. Let's see. But I think the Warriors are going to get this. I think we are going to be there'll be a game 7 on Sunday night, and if they ever lose that, let's get through this one first. I get it, but I think that Nick Nurse timeout in the fourth quarter on Monday. What day is it?
Today is Thursday. This was Tuesday.
Monday.
It all blends together.
Yeah, but I think we're going to be talking about that timeout if Toronto loses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be talked about forever.
We'll be questioning it for a long time. With 3 minutes to go, they're up by 6, and Golden State was gassed. I did argue that Kawhi was gassed also because he just took his team on his back for the previous 10 minutes and scored like 10 unanswered points.
He did, but still, they were feeding off that crowd, and it looked like they had the game won. But it's going to be, tonight, it's not going to be about Kawhi Leonard. We know he's going to show up, but is it going to be Siakam? What's he going to do? Gasol? And those guys. Now, on the flip side, I think you're going to see Draymond Green have a monster night. I really do. He's just going to keep it. They're going to try to bait him. Yeah. One tech and he's gone. He's at right there on the precipice.
Oh, I go after him all day.
Yeah.
Elbows, so knees.
It's about Green, and it's going to be about Boogie Cousins having a better fourth quarter. He had a pretty decent game up until the last 6 or 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, and then he almost gave that game away. But I think the Splash Brothers will be fine. I agree with you. I think Golden State's going to build the lead. I'm just wondering what happens here with the Raptors. They're fearless. They're a lot like the St. Louis. I mean, they're resilient. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just wondering, after the way they lost that game, Durant, no Durant, that Golden State still found a way to win that game.
Right.
Are they going to be? How devastated are they? Emotionally, where are their heads at?
And again, I'll stand by. Look, I think I have no problems with Kawhi Leonard. I think he's tough mentally. He'll be fine. It's the other guys I worry about.
Phil Mickelson almost got a hole-in-one. Wow, that hit right on the seventh hole of the par 3, 108 yards, that elevated tee into that beautiful, going into the ocean in the background.
It's really easy.
Hit right at the pin, bounced forward, and then spun back, and he's got about, a five-footer for birdie.
I love the spin back.
Oh! Actually wasn't. Yeah, it was.
It almost hit the pin.
It almost hit the pin.
And again, this is a shot, if you go too far right to the pin, you're in the water.
Yep.
And he put it in between the pin and
108
the right edge.
Yards. Sounds easy, doesn't it?
Not with the wind blowing.
Get up there, the wind, and the elevated. That is one of my favorite holes in golf. I know it's a short hole. I just love this course.
Well, here's my problem. See, if I see water, it's a mental magnet. It's going in. It's going in the water. Okay. I have not overcome that in my golf game.
Got to block it out.
So if you get a whole ocean over there, that's
where
my ball's
going. Well,
this,
that's a pitching wedge. I mean, for me, 108 yards, that's a pitching wedge.
Yeah.
110 in is a pitching wedge for me. So unless the wind's really at my back or I really blade it.
And this is also what? The hole is what, 20 yards lower than the tee? I mean, it's a drop-off. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you'd say 108 yards, but it drops down.
I love elevated tees. There's something about them. And even if you're a par 4 and you're driving, I love elevated tees.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
really get some air under a ball on an elevated tee. It makes you feel better about yourself. That's what it does.
Yeah, and if you don't hit it particularly well, as long as it's not a lot of brush in front of you.
If you get it up at all in the air, line drive, worm burner will go far.
It will.
On an elevated tee, no doubt about it. All right, let me hang here for just a minute because Ricky Fowler is on the 16th. He's
putting
the leader by one stroke, and he is putting for a birdie. It's about a 19-footer.
19 feet, 4 inches.
Okay. We'll hang with this for a minute. I'm going to see how this goes. Don't forget, Jeff Nixon from Stony Brook Golf Club will be in studio next hour.
And Ricky does look like he just came out of a Scotch ad, to quote, what's his name, at Caddyshack.
Yeah. All right, here we go. The putt is
good!
Oh, just missed to the left for a birdie. He'll tap in for par.
Is it left or right?
It's the left side. It's the left side.
Wow, that was right in.
Tapped it in for an inch and a half for par through 16. Still a lead of one stroke. Could have been two. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. More from the U.S. Open. Don't forget, next hour, Wikipedia as well, U.S. Open trivia. Shima DeShepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Shima DeShepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday.
I don't know what direction you want to go here, but this is interesting. I just saw this right now. Six big Anthony Davis trades we'd like to see. And it's Adrian Wojnarowski and the NBA Insiders.
Woj put this together? All right.
Yeah,
what do we got?
Fascinating stuff.
All right, hit me with
this
it.
This is pretty cool.
Because when we left the airwaves yesterday, we heard that both the Celtics were trying to make a deal with the Pelicans, and then the Lakers were trying to make a deal with the Pelicans.
Separately. The way Woj wrote it first, which confused me a little bit, was like it's going to be a three-team type of deal. And he actually later clarified, probably listened to our show, because I said, I'm not sure if this is a three-team trade he's talking about, three-way trade, or he's talking about two separate deals. And he said it was two separate deals, which makes total sense. On the other hand, I don't know how the Lakers get this done without a third team. But
well keep in mind, Dale Benson, the owner of the Pelicans, once said, over my dead body, am I going to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers? And then on the other side, the Celtics are looking at, do we want to risk giving up assets for a guy that probably is going to be a one-year rental, and therefore it wouldn't be worth it to them? So, all right, so what's on the table?
These are scenarios, and the teams that are involved here, Portland, the Denver Nuggets, the L.A. Clippers, the Celtics, the L.A. Lakers, and the Knicks.
You so here, Portland or the Nuggets come up with? I mean, they're good teams.
Some of these have – so here's the thing. With three-way deals.
All right.
The Knicks, the Pelicans. This is with the Knicks and the Cavaliers. The Pelicans get Matthew Dellavedova, Billy Garrett, Frank whatever his name is, Laquina. Telequino, whatever his name is, Dennis Smith Jr., Sadie Osman, the 2019 number 3 pick, 2021 Dallas first round pick, 2022 Milwaukee first round pick, which is top 10 protected 2022 and 23, top 8 protected in 2024, otherwise 2024 and 25 second round picks.
Knicks would get
Anthony Davis. Yeah. The Cavaliers would get Kevin Knox. It turns into
I don't like that deal for anybody. If I'm a Pelicans fan, they're like, wait, I got to wait like 4 years for this to come to fruition? Forget that.
Kevin Pelton says this turns into a three-team trade because the Pelicans might not value Knox as highly as other teams. So after getting Knox, Ntilikina and Smith from the Knicks, along with this year's number 3 pick and the 2021 unprotected Mavericks pick, Pelicans exec David Griffin also flips Knox to his former team in exchange for sending out Knox and taking back Dellavedova's salary, helping the Cavs avoid the luxury tax.
Right.
New Orleans gets Osman, a Griffin draft pick in the past year on a cheap contract at $2.9 million, and takes an interesting gamble on the Milwaukee pick that won't convey until after the Greek Freak hits unrestricted free agency.
But I don't like that at all.
Let's go to the Lakers.
All right.
Lakers get Anthony Davis. Okay. Pelicans get Brandon Ingram.
Yes.
2019 number 4 pick.
Okay.
2019 number 6 pick. Phoenix Suns get Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart.
So far, I like this one.
Bobby Marks says, while this deal falls short of Griffin's checklist, it does provide strong value with two top six picks. And on top of the number one pick New Orleans already owns, and a player in Ingram who at times displayed all-star potential, which we know before undergoing thoracic outlet decompression surgery in March. The trade also would leave New Orleans with a $24 million to use in free agency.
Refresh my memory. Didn't LeVar Ball at one point suggest Lonzo should go to the Suns?
Yes,
okay,
he did.
Okay, they
did.
Might be happy with it. All right, yeah. So of the two deals you've mentioned, I like this one for multiple reasons. I think, and again, the Pelicans have always had their eye on Ingram. That is somebody they absolutely want to get. And that number four pick, now you're starting to cook with gas. All right,
for
what
else? For the Lakers, the question comes down to timing because the incoming and outgoing salaries do not match the $27.1 million Davis's contract. This trade would be finalized after July 6th when the moratorium is lifted and the 2019-20 salary cap calendar goes
into
effect.
Where's Kuzma? They're hanging on to Kuzma in this deal?
Yeah, for the Lakers to maximize cap space, the $32.5 million in available room would have to be used first on one or multiple free agents, and then the trade with the Pelicans would be completed 30 days after the number four pick in the draft signs his contract, reversing the order cost, the Lakers losing $4.8 million in cap flexibility.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, what's next on your deal? You had
Celtics.
Six. Okay, Celtics.
Celtics get Anthony Davis and Solomon Hill. Pelicans get Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, 2019 number 14 pick, 2019 number 20 pick, 2020 Memphis first-round pick, which is top six protected. So Bobby Marks says, despite the Pelicans' insistence on adding a third team to a deal, a package of Tatum, Hayward, and these three first-round picks should suffice. Well, this package
is not a
rich
bad deal
for Boston, especially with the uncertainty of Davis re-signing as a free agent in 2020. Head of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, would be following the same script as Oklahoma City with Paul George, Toronto with Kawhi Leonard, by taking a win-now approach without a long-term commitment.
Let
so
me
it's
ask
also
you,
uncertain when it comes, obviously, to Kyrie Irving.
You're a Celtics fan. Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward, is that worth an Anthony Davis? Because that's basically what it comes down to.
Only if Anthony Davis signs long-term.
Okay.
I don't want gambling. I'm not taking a gamble on a 1 year. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
All right.
I don't think so.
I'm hearing from the agent and everything, they do not want to stay long term in Boston. So I would not do. I would keep Jason Tatum and Gordon Haywood.
Yep.
Look, Gordon Haywood had a disappointing year this year, but again, I blame that on Kyrie Irving. The chemistry was horrible.
Yep.
All right. What else?
And then he says Tatum and the Grizzlies picks are the big prizes here for New Orleans. Tatum checks the most important box as a young player with the All Star, and the Memphis first rounder becomes valuable because of the uncertainty surrounding Mike Conley on a Grizzlies team that will prioritize player development. So, yeah, so there's a third team involved here.
Yeah. Well, Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the Clippers.
All right.
Clippers get Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Suns get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay.
Pelicans get Gallinari, Josh Jackson, Jerome Robinson, 2019 number six pick, 2020 L.A. first-round pick, 2021 Miami first-round pick.
Miami.
And L.A. would have to wait until after the 2019 draft to trade this pick.
Why is Miami giving up their first-round pick in 2 years?
Well, we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
Anthony Davis, Andrew Hahn says, finally gets to L.A. and for one of the teams that was on his original list. New Orleans gets a second chance to utilize forward-thinking trade assets 8 years after sending Chris Paul to the Clippers for picks and young players. And though the best thing to come of that exchange was its ability to be bad enough to draft AD, Griffin and company should be savvy enough to build around the soon-to-be Pelican Zion Williamson with a high second-high lottery pick and two additional picks in subsequent years. For the Suns, a reliable playmaker, lead guard, has been coveted 4 years to pair with Devin Booker. And while some might think trading the number six pick for last season's number 11 would be a net loss, Gilgeous-Alexander proved himself not to be just one of the best point guards prospects, but one of the best prospects in the 2018 draft class.
All right.
And for Lawrence Frank, Michael Winger, and the Clips, this is cut and dried affair. If there is reasonable evidence that Davis will re-sign with the Clippers, the opportunity to pair a perennial MVP candidate with a max salary slot is the reason why the front office doesn't collect assets, add to their deepest bench in the league, and L.A. would immediately support at least one title contender.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd all in on this deal. All right.
Denver Nuggets. Nuggets
okay.
get Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Pelicans get Gary Harris, Monte Morris, Malik Beasley, Michael Porter Jr., 2021 Denver first-round pick, 2022 Denver second-round pick, and 2023 Denver second-round pick.
Keep in mind, Denver's good, so these picks are not going to be very good. I don't like this so far. All right.
So I'm looking at
Portland had a deal.
Yeah, Portland. They get Anthony Davis and Etuan Moore and Jahlil Okafor. Pelicans get C.J. McCollum.
Really?
Yep. Yusuf Nurkic, the 2019 number 25 pick, 2021 Portland first round picks.
Keep in mind, these picks are going to be late first round. They're not going to be very good picks.
Andre Smelling
surprised
said,
they'd part with C.J. McCollum.
Yeah, in this deal, the Blazers become the next team to push in all their chips for a guaranteed season with a superstar. The Davis-Damian Lillard combo would make them contenders immediately with both stars at the peak of their powers and starving for a title. Plus, like the Raptors, Portland has an outstanding fan base and would welcome Davis with open arms.
I was just going to say, this sounds a lot like Toronto going for Kawhi Leonard for 1 year.
You on the Pelican side, McCollum. McCollum, an all-star caliber player, averaged 24.4 points per game. And last three playoff appearances, that kind of thing. And he would also form a very intriguing backcourt with Drew Holiday. I agree. Nurkic's only 24, averaged 15 points and almost 10 boards in his two-plus seasons. But routing into one of the better players before he hurt his leg.
Okay.
All right. So
of all these deals, I mean, still the Lakers and the Celtics have the best deals on the table.
I don't even think it's close.
I don't know if I read this or if I dreamed it. Did Danny Ainge say at some point that it's too much? Did I dream that? Maybe I did.
What's too much?
This?
Well, I don't think this has been offered yet.
Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and picks. It's too much.
Oh, I think it's too much.
Even be too much even if he agrees to stay.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, Anthony Davis, I love him as a player. I'm like, you do all that. Okay, so you got you're building around Anthony Davis, Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, I'm gone. Tatum gone. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd do it.
And most of these six deals, I don't see the Pelicans getting a lot back, except for whether you're talking the Celtics deal or the Lakers deal.
I really love Tatum and the Brown, and I like the way they're currently constituted. They just got...
I keep thinking of the Celtics 2 years ago without Kyrie, with these guys. These guys were good. These are the future stars of your team.
To win the whole thing, obviously, they can get better.
They will get better, but they were stymied by Kyrie.
Yeah, I don't like that deal at all.
Yeah, all right.
The Lakers one, my gut feeling still tells me, Craig, that he is going to end up as a Laker, that they're somehow going to get that done. And that would mean Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart going to Phoenix. And the Pelicans get Brandon Ingram.
Spectacular.
So how about Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson together?
Zion, Ingram, and I got lost in the details. Do the Pelicans still keep their – oh, well, the draft pick is Zion.
Yeah, okay, Pelicans get Brandon Ingram and the number four pick.
That's
2019 number four pick and the 2019 number six pick.
Okay, I like that.
So they get the four and the six.
I like that. Make it happen. Pull the trigger. So so I want the soundbite from Gail Benson. She capitulated.
Yeah.
Somebody talked her into it.
Well, if she's a businesswoman, you got to put your personal feelings aside and do what's right. This is a business.
Yep.
If you let your emotions get in the way, you're going to be sitting with the fans.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, Ricky Fowler.
That's me in a nutshell right
just
there.
Just hit the sprinkler.
Right in the sprinkler.
He's on the fairway, which, by the way, he's 13 of 14 on fairways. He's 5 under. He has a 1-stroke lead. He's on 18. That was his tee shot. Will they give him relief for that?
Yeah, I believe you are allowed relief from that at least a club length away. I believe.
Meanwhile, Dustin
Johnson might have to be right in the sprinkler. I'm not sure if that's right in the sprinkler or popped out.
You know, I think it's on the edge. I think he's got to play it where it is.
I don't know the official.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, I would tell anybody I'm playing with, give yourself a good lie.
I'd say, hey, everybody, look over there. And when they did, I'd kick it about 3 feet to the side. That's how I roll. All right, interesting trade speculation for Anthony Davis. The draft is next week. It's a week from today, is it not? You'd imagine these deals will get put together by then. So, all right, I want to see DJ hit this shot first. He's
flop
got,
shot and the
but
heavy,
he's got
heavy
the ocean
rough.
On the other side of the green if he goes too long. So, and he's in very, very heavy grass here on the eighth. This is his third shot on a par 4, so this is very important. He's even for the day. Flops
delicate
it.
Shot downhill. It releases nicely.
Yep.
Rolling towards the hole. This is
that's a major league shot right there.
Awesome shot.
Got within 2 feet of the hole.
A tap in for par. Great flop shot there.
All right, very good. Coming up in studio next hour, Jeff Nixon from Stony Brook Golf Club will be in studio. We'll talk some golf with him. We'll have Wikipedia in which we'll play prizes for U.S. Open trivia. So know your golf if you're going to call in next hour and try and win.
And breaking news out of the SEC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Breaking news.
You already know this, but I'm going to tease.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'll
but
have some
it is breaking
on
news because it's a first.
Yes, we'll discuss when we come back. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Ricky
Martin. Thought you were talking about Ricky Fowler.
No.
Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin.
We will talk about Ricky Fowler next hour. In fact, we've got Jeff Nixon, the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club, be in studio for the hour. We'll talk U.S. Open. We'll talk golf. We'll talk local golf. And we'll close out the hour next hour with Wikipedia. It'll be U.S. Open trivia. It's a little difficult today. The course setup is tough. You can complain to the USGA if you'd like, or me, since
or
I came up with
the
question.
This is you putting the pin in horrible placement, say a par three, like way in the back,
yes,
over a couple of bunkers.
Yes.
And there's water in the background, and you can't fly the green. Or you
right. And I think because Jeff Nixon is here, I think I might allow a caddy, phone a friend, or phone a caddy for help. I think I'll allow
phone
him
a pro.
Phone a pro.
I can't call Jeff a caddy. Phone a pro.
I know. Yeah, you're right. Right. I stand corrected. But I think I'll allow him to help out you and the candidate at least once.
Candidate. That person.
Contestant. Caller number 9 next hour.
You feeble-minded little listener, you.
Yes. Well, no, I would never say that.
Well, you're thinking it.
No. No, I don't know the answers to some of these questions. I know because I wrote them down.
Breaking news out of the SEC.
Are we doing the breaking news sound?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. It's kind of silly,
but
I don't care.
Rick Church on the spot. Breaking news! Breaking news!
Texas A&M today became the first SEC program to announce it would sell beer and wine to the general public at Kyle Field, holy cow, after the alcohol ban was lifted at this year's SEC spring meetings. A variety of beer and wine will be sold to the public in public areas at designated locations until the end of the third quarter of games. In accordance with the new SEC guidelines, alcohol will not be sold by vendors in seating areas. The number of beverages purchased at one time will be limited. And quickly, before we interim AD R.C. Slocum sent a statement, this is another way we are enhancing the amenities at Kyle Field. We are extending the availability of alcohol beyond the premium areas, which have had this option for many years. Fans 21 and older will have the option to purchase alcohol regardless of seating area. Previously, as we've said before, selling alcohol in public areas of SEC athletic venues had been prohibited. Whether alcohol will be sold at other venues on campus has not been determined. Now, we know Georgia said no.
Right.
But Texas A&M, and you pointed out, this could rival LSU.
This will rival. And it's funny because didn't the AD at A&M go to LSU?
Yes.
But it's funny that you said, holy cow, because there's a lot of those around there.
Yeah.
Having lived in Texas, let me give you a quick breakdown.
Now, have you been to Kyle Field? I haven't
been
to Kyle. You have?
Yes, I've been to one game there. And I was impressed. It's like it's.
Who are they playing?
It was their season opener, so it was against like Lafayette, Louisiana. They won like 56-0.
At least a Division I team.
Yeah. All right. So the place is packed. Great fans. One of the best home field advantages I've ever seen in person. They got these little chants and things they do in unison for first downs, and then they kiss their neighbor on touchdowns, and it's the original 12th man.
Wow.
Great crowd.
Make out with your neighbor after a touchdown?
Yeah, you can. Huh? As I say, Well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Some things are still allowed there.
Yeah.
But,
what's wrong with that? Romance after a TD.
So, unlike Texas, Hook'em Horns, see, that's more cosmopolitan because it's the stadium and the university are smack dab in the middle of the state capital in Austin. So, mm-hmm. you got like a city vibe with the campus right in the middle. You go to A&M. It is in the middle of nowhere. College Station, there is nothing around there. You do smell the farms as you're walking into the stadium nearby, and it's not pleasant. That was my experience. So there's literally nothing else to do. So you add alcohol to the mix, and I am telling you, it is going to be off the chain. It's crazy. They will rival LSU and their pregame drunkenness. Fact. Gonna be unbelievable,
and they're gonna have a hell of a team. They got a hell of a schedule this
year, and they're
year
pretty
too.
Good.
Oh, they got a tough schedule early too. Yeah, absolutely, damn good.
Wow,
love it.
Yeah,
great. I can't believe Georgia said no.
A little surprised myself, and I always follow the money. The
Gators are
money
considering it.
Well, it would be so lucrative.
We're gonna have a chart. SEC, seriously, I want when it's all said and done in a couple of weeks, when everybody decides whether they're gonna do it or not. We'll have an SEC chart to see, actually, so we can keep track. We should, and know what? We'll keep track every week. I'll do this of arrests, public drunkenness at the stadium.
That's the scary. That's the scary thing about A&M because it's a lot of little two-lane roads in and out of the middle of nowhere. Like I could see some people doing some stupid stuff. Probably not the best idea.
Well, like I said, you're limiting or you're trying to limit people from. I mean, if you're going to sneak in, you're going to sneak it in.
What they're doing is they don't want people sneaking in. They want to make money off
of it. I want to know how much money they're going to charge. Yeah. I mean, is it going to be ridiculous, like 10 bucks a beer? Or is it going to be like 4 or 5 or 3?
678 says, yeah, they'll be cow tipping at College Station. There sure will.
You don't think it's less stinky than when you were there how many years ago?
This was just before I moved here. This was 3 years ago.
Okay.
My daughter had been begging me to take her to a game and see what the experience was like.
And so you weren't broadcasting. You actually were sitting in the stands?
I was sitting in the stands.
Oh, where were you sitting? That must have been cool.
I was sitting end zone seats. I bought them on StubHub at the last second.
You drove to college. What time did you get there? What time was the game? 12 or 3 or 4?
It was like 1 o'clock game. And keep in mind, I said season opener. So it's September.
Yep. It's hot.
It's hot and humid. My sweat was sweating. It was so hot.
So,
but it was packed, and it was the atmosphere is great. But yeah.
What if your daughter said, I want to go there?
I would have let her. Yeah. She actually was considering it for quite some time, and then I talked her into coming to Florida with me.
Oh, that's
great. All right, so when we come back, Jeff Nixon will be in studio from Play Golf Southwest Florida every Sunday from 8 to 10, and, of course, the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club. He is next. Stay with us. We'll update you on things going on at the U.S. Open. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.